Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
A lot getting into steps to get much, much closer to this being reality and now happening. We go out to the best coverage possible on it with our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
Not much. Gonna get some sleep tonight and join Lama for the morning show tomorrow.
That's exciting. Definitely. People want to make sure they catch that tomorrow morning, 6
and
to
And I'm
10.
Not waiting up till midnight for the governor to sign the budget.
Yeah. So, Daryl, that was one of the interesting things because we were on from, obviously, 7 to 11 last night as well. I'm sitting there and I'm like monitoring. I'm mostly paying attention to your social media because I know you're going to be on it when it does happen. I'm sitting around and we're off air by the time that the news actually breaks and it goes into place. So, what was essentially I don't know that we know exactly what the holdup is, but was there a clear and obvious holdup? Did it have anything to do with the stadium budget at all?
No. The holdup was that it was an over 3,000-page bill that the governor had to go through, and I think it was 67 items that he vetoed. And not to get into the politics of it, but the how it works is he has to basically outline every provision that he wanted to line item veto, and then also he had to initial those. And if you want to see an example of that, just go to his account and the photo where he's holding up the bill and Jim Tressel's there, the lieutenant governor, former Buckeye coach. And if you zoom in on it, you can see all the numbers that are boxed, and then there's initials with them. So that is a very time-consuming process. And that's why he didn't get around to signing it finally until around 11:15 last night. And then I found out a few minutes later that the Browns funding, in fact, did not get vetoed, nor did the Modell Law revision, nor did the syntax increase permissive.
Hey, Daryl, I thought the comments on your social media posts were really good. Obviously not in reality. My favorite one that I saw was, could somebody not get this guy Sparks Notes version of this? Can we not get the shortened version of the 3,200 pages?
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't do Cliff Notes or Ohio Budget for Dummies on this one. And look, I'll be honest with you. So the just the syntax permissive part was 11 pages deep. There was another 10 pages outlining the grant program for the sports and culture facilities fund. Then there was a couple more pages with the actual language saying, hey, the Browns are getting $600 million next year. We're setting another $400 million aside for, quote unquote, qualifying projects. By the way, the qualifying project is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals Stadium, so they'll be able to rework that for them there down in Hamilton County, even though they just agreed to a new lease and the outlines of a scaled down renovation. Now they can, you know, put the life back into the thing and include state money there. But yeah, I mean, it is a very detailed, full of minutia, full of stuff that has nothing to do with a budgetary process or spending state of Ohio money whatsoever. But, you know, that's what they tend to use these budgets for, is to, you know, put some policy in there, you know, that they had been shooting for.
So, Daryl, for anybody that wasn't completely following along, because obviously there were three different options that were basically proposed in the beginning on where this money would be coming from. What did they settle on, and what does it sort of mean for the average person knowing that this is where it is coming from?
Yeah, they went with door number three. Behind door number one was the governor's plan of doubling the gambling company tax from 20 to 40%. That new 20% creates a stadium fund. And a little bit of a bureaucracy there for folks to apply and whatnot. Behind door number two was the House plan. That was just we're just going to bond $600 million for the Browns, and that was a non-starter, I think, for a lot of folks. And then door number three, which is the plan that got chosen, is the escheatment of $1.7 billion from the unclaimed funds, property fund, I should say. That have been basically the money has been sitting there collecting dust for almost two decades. It was, the companies now hung on for it for almost 10 years before turning it over to the state of Ohio. And then the state of Ohio has hung on to it for over 10 years. And then once you get to that 10-year, past that 10-year window, then it is Ohio law that the state can escheat or claim the property for itself. So that's what they're doing in this case. But folks that have recent unclaimed funds, claims and whatnot, you're still going to get your money, and the state has given folks until I think 2036 to claim funds, that fund will get refilled over the course of the next 16 years or so as well. So it is a very unique way of approaching it. DeWine made it very clear in his comments today he did not want taxpayer dollars that are supposed to go to education or other services for Ohioans. He did not want that going to not just the Brown Stadium, but any stadium. As he said today, those should be separate. So while it wasn't the construct he was looking for, the goal of not using tax dollars, not needing to use bonds or affect the state credit rating or the state's ability to borrow and bond and all those type of things, he was willing to bite the bullet and go ahead and approve the funding.
Our very own Daryl Ryder, Cleveland Sports Beat Reporter, with us here, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers. Daryl, I know you posted on social media something that Mayor Bibb put out following the results of basically going through and saying, hey, we don't agree with this, which is the expected response that comes along with it, as they've been opposing it this entire time. He also, at the end of it, kind of throws out a promise to Cleveland for the renovation, the building of the lakefront. Is that something that it should mean something to Cleveland going through and making that promise? Or is this basically what we've been hearing for the last several decades over and over again, what's already been being promised?
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. That's just kind of where I'm at. There are unresolved issues. What is ultimately going to happen to the existing stadium? Who's going to be responsible for taking that down? I don't know that the Browns have much of an appetite with the way the city of Cleveland has treated them throughout this process, the way Cuyahoga County has treated them throughout this process. I don't know that the Browns have much of an appetite to do anything for anybody. I can tell you that there was a time when they were very willing to take some responsibility and lend a helping hand with getting that stadium removed from the lakefront and providing some funds to kind of kickstart the redevelopment of that land. But after all the hostility and the just the downright ugliness that has taken place in front of cameras and microphones, and I won't even say behind closed doors, because one thing got said to the Browns behind closed doors, and then the politicians got in front of cameras and microphones and did the exact opposite. So I just don't know how you can work with people like that. So it'll be interesting to see in the coming weeks, months here, if some sort of peace accord, a ceasefire of some sort, can be struck between all the parties, and maybe the Browns ultimately at least take the stadium down and then just leave the rest for the city's own devices there.
Daryl, I've asked you this version of this question several times as we move throughout the process, but I think it's interesting now that we have the budget sort of signed off on. How much more of this process still remains sort of open to adjustment now? Like, the money's in place, but how much more are we looking forward to with legal planning ahead of it, highway construction, and everything else? How much is still in front of the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, it's a done deal, but it's not a done deal, if that makes sense, right? That was a pretty big domino that fell last night. They're still working with the city of Brook Park on zoning provisions for that 176 acres of land because, you know, Brook Park currently has prohibitions in place. And so obviously all those need to be removed so that the Browns can move forward with this. There's the issue of getting Brook Park bonded for $422 million. County is not going to participate, which means that they're not going to co-sign or backstop those bonds, which means that it's going to be a little higher interest rate that Brook Park is probably going to have to pay on those bonds. You know, the Browns have to fill in the county's $178 million because, again, the county is not going to bond or participate at all in this project. While they'll certainly be happy to take the tax revenue that they're going to get from it, someone should tell the county folks that this is still being built in Cuyahoga County, and it's a $2+ billion private investment, which has, you know, until Dan Gilbert surpasses it with the riverfront, which that could take 40 years. He got a, you know, 100-year TIF on that thing, $3.5 billion TIF for the riverfront. Right now, the Haslams are the leaders in the clubhouse with the greatest private investment in Cuyahoga County history with this project. So that's a little detail that gets lost in the wind here as well. But there are a lot of steps that have to, you know, take place before they can ultimately put shovels in the ground, you know, in the first quarter of 2026. But the dome's coming to, or I should say the enclosed stadium is coming to Brook Park in 2029, that's for sure.
Daryl Reuter, our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, with us here on the hotline. Daryl, moving away from some of the stadium stuff, a report surfacing over Mary Kay Cabot put out an article on Cleveland.com over the past couple of days saying that Deshaun has kind of taken Shador under his wing in order to help him develop and get up to speed on where we're going. Is this something that should scare Browns fans in any way, or is it something that they should probably support and back?
I kind of feel like I need to watch what I say because I do have thoughts.
Don't we all, Daryl?
Not many of which I can share on the air. I'll just say, I guess Deshaun's being a good teammate, and I guess we'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, we kind of broke it down at 8-7-20. It sort of went to the angle of, like, yeah, of course, I mean, with what a lot of you could say, I'm safer off air. It's like, yeah, the individual mentoring him as a person, I'm sure, would scare a lot of people. I think best
Yeah, I don't know
right
that
now.
Deshaun's the example I want Shador following. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, certainly not. But I think as we look at, like, on-the-field stuff, if Deshaun's going to be in the building, in the meeting rooms, then it some way has to be a positive that he's at least trying to help the young guys who are essentially, from his own doing, though, but taking his job is at least a good thing for locker room dynamics, no?
I guess.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I guess. I mean, yeah, I think I'm just going to leave it at that.
The last one I'll get to you on this, Daryl, and then we'll get into some of the Cavs stuff happening. One of the things I battle with is, like, what is the angle for Deshaun here to essentially be the good teammate and be a positive part of the locker room, because you've gone through and you've had Jimmy Haslam, in other words, basically deem the contract a complete failure, open to the public and everything else. So what's sort of the positive spin for him on this moving forward?
Well, that he's a good teammate and, you know, willing to do whatever's asked of him, or, you know, willing to take initiative to take young guys under his wing and stuff like that. And, you know, that's all well and good. I just think that there's legitimate questions about whether or not Deshaun can play the sport at the level that it requires anymore. But, you know, and look, you know, whatever mistakes Deshaun may or may not have made in younger years of his career, whatever, maybe he can make sure that Shador doesn't go down that path and make those same mistakes when it comes to, you know, study habits off the field or, you know, whatever. Just anything that he, you know, has dealt with, or, you know, hey, this is what made my life a little easier when I was with the Texans and why I was able to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Or, well, here's why I struggled, you know, with certain things. So this is what you need to do to make sure that you don't struggle the way I did early in my career and stuff like that. Not to say that Deshaun struggled early in his career, but, I mean, the story about Texans coaches having to go to Clemson to get their offense, I mean, those are legendary in league circles. So, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know that Deshaun has much of a selling value. I mean, he's under contract with the Browns right now. They cannot trade him under any circumstances this year or next year. And, you know, they're going to have to get out of this thing with a June 1 designation. I think it's in 27, 26. I got to go back and look at the contract. But, you know, where they're going to have to split the final 2 years of cap that they're going to owe him, they're going to, you know, have to split that over 2 years just to get out from underneath that. I mean, they're almost done paying the cash, okay? They got a couple more payments to make, but the cash payments aren't the issue. It's the salary cap obligations that are still there, and it's a ton of cap that is dedicated to him right now. And so the Browns just kind of have to suck it up and get through it.
Daryl, free agency in the NBA, a couple of days underway now. Cavs are relatively quiet to start, as expected, because they can't really make a ton of signings other than vet minimums right now. But they do add Larry Nance Jr. back to the team. How much does this help, specifically the bench unit, because you know he's going to be coming off the bench on a vet minimum. It's just sort of in defining roles and filling need that they're missing this season.
Yeah, I mean, his three-point shooting's a little better. I think that, you know, I think it just opens up things a little bit more rotationally for Kenny Atkinson. I like the signing. I was always a fan of Larry Jr. It was tough that the Cavaliers had to trade him the first time around, but, you know, these are the type of, you know, signings that you can expect right now from Kobe Altman, where he's looking to find some value somewhere. And the fact that they're able to get Larry back here on that vet minimum deal to, you know, to help them out, give them yet another big that they do need. I think that was a pretty savvy move by Kobe Altman.
Daryl, what should be number one on the Cavs list right now in terms of moving forward, something they need to address going farther into this offseason from a point of roster construction?
Well, I mean, if you listen to LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steve Nash, it's trading Darius Garland.
You're not wrong there.
I mean, man, I listened to that clip from their podcast. My goodness gracious. I mean, I don't vehemently disagree, but I did kind of feel like it was a little harsh, but there was also, you know, there was also some truth in there that he is a guy that you want to attack defensively. And when you apply pressure to him, he is really bothered by it. But yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like that they're going to run it back. And maybe they do something significant if they feel the need, like at the trade deadline next year. My gut is telling me that it's fun to think about all these grandiose plans and these big moves that could be made. I'm not convinced that Kobe Altman's got the appetite for that. I kind of feel like Kobe really, really wants to run it back with the core four and this roster the way it is. And, you know, they'll, you know, bring in a couple, you know, maybe another guy on a vet minimum or something like that. But, You know, if Cavs fans were hoping that they were going to win in the offseason or in free agency, I'm sorry, you're going to be very disappointed because the Cavs aren't going to win anything this offseason.
Daryl, as always, appreciate you. Good stuff. People can listen to you tomorrow with Lima, 6 to 10. As always, good stuff.
Appreciate you. I got to go take a nap now because you know how Lima gets early in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy, I got 4 hours of that.
Be happy with that. Be excited.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, it's Lima.
Thanks, Daryl. Good stuff.
You bet.
Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, with us there, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what some of what Daryl had to say.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.